welcome to the Daily Reprieve, where we provide SA speaker meetings, workshops, and conferences in podcast format. We are an ad-free podcast. If you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and drop a dollar or two into the virtual basket. Please consider donating monthly by clicking the Donate Monthly button. However, one-time donations are always welcome. Just click the Donate Now button. Now, without further ado, this episode of The Daily Reprieve.
So, hi everyone. My name is AJF, and I'm a recovering sexaholic. Thank God, for the grace of God, I'm clean from that 23 July 2009. It's working. So soon I'm going to be celebrating my 14th anniversary, God willing. I told Jason asked me what topic I want to speak about, and I suggested to speak about balance, because that's something, you know, it was something I felt lately I was focusing on. But I do want to feel the group. I mean, if there's other topics that friends feel it could be more helpful, critical to speak about, so I'm going to be happy. So if there's any other topics.
Yeah, Rob, it's Rob's second meeting. So if you want to share your story, I think that'd be helpful.
Okay. That's, you know what? So let's start from that. And then I can put into that, speaking about balance. So you're saying the newcomer is Rob?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So welcome, Rob, your second meeting. I hope you give yourself a chance to see what Sexaholics Anonymous is about. You know, for me, it was scary in the beginning. It was like learning a new language, you know, turning it over, surrendering, you know, we love you. Like all these terms I didn't hear before. So it was scary, but I'm grateful for God that I gave myself the opportunity to get to know the fellowship, you know, before I ran away or said, yeah, whatever, these guys I don't connect to, they feel too weird. Allowing yourself, you know, we recommend for going to at least 6 meetings. So I would do that. And yeah, I would love to share with you, with all of you, but particularly the newcomer, because he's the most important person here. I'm sober today only because I give the message forward to people like you, Rob. Thank God I have sponsees, because I can only keep on this present. And it's indeed a huge present of being sober. Only if I give it over. That's like the best insurance I can get. So I'm sober since 2009, but I came in 2007. And it took me 2 years to get sober. 2 years I kept going to meetings twice a week. 2 years of coming to meetings and saying, hi, my name is H. I had a week. I had 2 days, you know? And, you know, and people like roll their eyes, and I kept coming. And that's the first present that God gave me is being stubborn, because it's unbelievable. When it came to my addiction, I was stubborn. I mean, if I needed my drug, I was stubborn. I was not going to sleep anytime soon. You know, if I had to roam the streets, if I had to climb on top of a mountain to get some Wi-Fi, you know, I would do that. You know, I was definitely open-minded. You know, when it came to my drug, I was like, I don't know what kind of religion she is from. You know, no, I was completely open-minded. You know, anyone from any type, from any gender. But then, and I was very patient as well. You know, I was very patient when it came to my addiction. You know, I can wait, you know, quietly until I get my drug. But then when I walked into the rooms, you know, I felt all of a sudden those things I was talking about, they faded. You know, all of a sudden I felt I was impatient. You know, if I didn't get sober in 2 weeks, I was like, whatever, this thing is not working. You know, I all of a sudden I was like, well, you know, I tried calling a friend, he didn't answer. So I guess that's it with that. You know, and when it came to my addiction, I was very, very stubborn and consistent. And like I say, open-minded, you know, when it came to my addiction, I was super open-minded. But when I came to the rooms in recovery, all of a sudden, I was like, I don't know, this guy, he looks too tall. This guy's too short. This guy's too fat. This guy's too skinny. This guy, I don't know what he is. You know, all of a sudden, I was like so narrow, you know, cherry picking, you know, people that maybe I can relate on. And it took me 2 years to figure out that if I want to recover from a very hard addiction, you know, I have to put in at least 50% of the effort, energy, and time I put in my addiction. You know, if I was open-minded when it came to my addiction, which allowed me, quote unquote, to act out in so many places and ways, you know, if I really truly want to recover from such a deadly addiction, I have to be open-minded in my recovery as well. You know, if I was able to get into such low places because I put in effort and time and stubbornness, you know, if I truly want to get free out of it, you know, I have to be open-minded, and I have to be stubborn as well. So those are only a few of the things I was learning, what I can learn from my addiction. Because when I came to my sponsor, and when I took a sponsor finally, and he told me, you know, you should come to meetings twice a week at least. So I would say, well, you know, I have a wife, and I have kids, and I have a job. And he says, hey, Jay, what happened when you acted out? I mean, you had a wife and kids then as well, and you had a job, and still you acted out. So I needed to put my recovery in a first place. I needed to give it the place it needs for me to allow it to help me out. So I want to share with you, Rob, particularly, you know, what are the reasons, looking back, that it took me 2 years to get sober? Because maybe it can help you. It will not take you 2 years, God willing. I have many friends that are sober since the first day they came to SA. But one of the reasons was, and maybe one of the main reasons, is when I came into SA, you know, and here I was, I mean, definitely I came into SA not because I didn't, you know, my stomach was hurting that morning. I was like, oh, I look pale. Maybe I should go to SA meeting. You know, I came because I was suffering from this disease. But yet when I walked in the rooms, and I heard stories from other folks, I was like, oh my God, these guys are really sick. I mean, I didn't, you know, do insane things, you know? So I thought either these guys are completely crazy and I should just like keep away from them, or maybe I'm not crazy enough, you know, that this program can help me, you know, when I kept hearing the term reaching a rock bottom, you know, my disease is very sneaky, very, very sneaky. I mean, my disease knows the whole Bible by heart and knew all the literature before I really read it. You know, already it knew how to quote certain things from literature. So my disease started telling me, well, AJ, you know, I think you didn't really hit rock bottom yet. You know, I don't know. You know, you acted out, but it was not like really, really. You were never arrested. You never, you know, got caught really. You know, maybe you have to do like insane things and then you can reach rock bottom. And then maybe, you know, God can, you know, have grace over you and allow you to get sober. So I literally had that thought for a long time. I thought, you know, I didn't reach rock bottom. And then an old timer from AA told me such a strong line. He says, you don't get it. He says, you know what's the depth of a rock bottom? I said, what is it? He said, the depth of a rock bottom is how deep you keep digging. So meaning you can always keep it dig, you know, if you want to keep dig. I mean, I met guys in a program that told me that their father, for example, is in jail for 18 years for doing sexual crimes. And I remember asking one of these guys, I says, Your dad has definitely hit rock bottom. He says, no, actually he didn't. I said, what do you mean he didn't? He said, my father is fantasizing what he's going to do after 18 years when he comes out of jail. So meaning, if we want to keep digging, trust me, we can keep digging and digging and digging. But if we decide we don't want to dig anymore, and then it occurred to me, he said, you know, I told myself, you know, it is true. You know, I can always, God forbid, you know, take my disease even to more insane places. But if I had enough with what I was doing, if what I was doing, even if it's not, it's only masturbation, only watching porn, whatever it is, it's only, you know, because always my addiction, when I come to help myself, it minimizes my problem. But before I act, but right after I act out, you know, and all of a sudden it blows it up and says, well, you know, you're too crazy, you can't do it. But so that really starts sinking in, you know, that, you know, SA is not about, God forbid, a competition, you know, who did the most insane things, you know, who went to the most number of prostitutes. You know, it's about, am I exhausted and tired and hurt by where the addiction took me till now? And that was a very, very important point for me. You know, did I suffer enough? And the thing is that maybe you're going to hear people tell you you didn't suffer enough. Maybe. But the problem I have with that is that I think it's true about if I have a friend that I know he has a sexual addiction, you know, and I try to offer him help and he says, no. So I think for him, definitely it's true that sentencing, telling him, listen, you know, maybe you have to suffer more, you know, to try to reach, the one to reach for help. But I think a person that came into the program, usually it's a person that had enough pain. But the problem with this addiction is no matter how big the pain is, I suffer from dementia. Like I can be hurt. I can promise myself, that's it. I'm not going to act out no matter what. It kills me. I can't. Da, 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 da. I promise myself. And yet after 2 days, 2 weeks, I just forget about it. I was like, I don't remember myself saying that. I don't know. Maybe I was tired when I said that, you know, I just completely forget, you know, and sometimes it would happen after 2 days, 2 weeks. Sometimes it would happen to me after freaking 15 minutes, excuse my French. I would like masturbate and like physically bang my head against the wall and said, that's it. I had enough. And like, find myself 15 minutes later masturbating again, for God's sake. Like, what is going on? Didn't you just promise yourself freaking 15 minutes before you're not going to do this again? Like, what's going on? You know, and then I noticed that I had that problem that I keep forgetting the pain. So like, and it's true. And guys that are in or been in the program for long enough, definitely met friends that we see them suffering. We see them like really suffering, promising themselves they won't do it again. And yet a week later, they do it again. So this program is about trying to remember that pain. You know, first of all, trying to remember that pain. And that's why we have the fellowship. We have the friends. We have the meetings. We have a sponsor. You know, we have the steps. The first step that reminds me when I get on my knees, you know, every morning, God, help me to remember pain. Of this addiction gave me, helping me remember just for today, I don't have the privilege to act out a little bit. You know, if I would, I would, you know, if I would be able to contain my addiction and this masturbate once a while, or this watch porn once a while without it affecting my life or without it dragging me and wanting more and more, maybe I would do it. But I needed in the first step that came to a conclusion, you know, I can't. And it was hard for me, like the 12 and 12 says in the first step, like who wants to admit he's a completely failure that when it comes to sex? You know, it's like an alcoholic. Why should I admit to that? You know, I go to a bar, I go to a wedding, you know, people are having drinks, they're having a good time. Why should I not have a good time? You know, and the whole program speaks about self-honesty in the end of the day. In the end of the day, it's self-honesty, because when I'm getting sober, I'm doing myself a favor. I'm not doing my wife definitely when I was acting out, it was definitely harming her as well. But if I needed to get sober because I knew it was, I'm doing myself a favor. When I thought I'm doing other people a favor, it didn't hold. It was not strong enough when a strong urge came, you know, me wanting, you know, to be nice to my wife or my in-laws or whoever was not enough. You know, I needed it to be my self-interest and knowing, you know, that my head will always say, well, just one more time, you know, just one more time. Like they say, you know, one more drink is too much. 1,000 is not enough, you know? So I needed to stop believing that lie, you know, that only one more drink, right? One more act and that's it. You know, it never, the last drink was already, you know, it never stops. And what was amazing was that I had, every time I acted out, there was two thoughts simultaneously going by. And one, what's the word in English, was like the opposite from the other, logically, but they went together. Like one thought was, AJ, you have to act out, because if you won't act out, you're going to have a heart attack. You know, that urge, like 5 minutes left. I need to act out. You know, if I won't, I'm going to die. And the other thought simultaneously was, hey, Jay, between us, you know, even if you act out, you won't die. You know, it's not like you're going to die, have a heart attack, you know, fine. So you acted out. And those two thoughts were just like playing around with my head. Every time I had an urge, I would feel either I need to act out because, you know, and then I noticed it was not like, you know, I'm going to die because I knew I won't die. But what it gave me, that fear, every time I had an urge, was if I don't act out, this urge is going to drive me insane, right? Like, let's picture a day, right? You wake up in the morning, you have a whole day in front of you, you have a job you need to do, you have a wife, kids, friends, whatever. You have a list of things you want to do today. And all of a sudden, this urge comes knocking at the door. Hi, how you doing? You want to watch some porn? And you're like, no, this is not a good time. This is not a good time. I have a long day, a long things I need to do. No, I want some porn. Like, and the feeling is, if I won't feed it a little bit, it will keep harassing me the whole day. So what I would do, every time I acted out, I did it because here, you want some porn, take some porn, leave me alone, you know? And it would give me that peace and quiet. It would leave me alone. I'm trying not to curse. It would leave me alone for at least 24 hours, you know? And that's why I acted out. I acted out because I felt that's the only way that I can this, you know, make it go away. And then when I came to the program, they were speaking about surrender. I didn't get that. We surrender to what? It's like, you know, I pictured me sitting on my couch, you know, having my cup of coffee, and all of a sudden this wild, how you call it? You know, these wild pigs, you know, this like storms in, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. And like, I'm calling my sponsor. I wish he said, just surrender. What do you mean just surrender? This thing is like hopping around. He's going to kill me in a moment. Like, what do you mean just surrender? Like the way I knew the deal with things, which obviously didn't work out well, was me trying to control the situation. And me trying to control the situation, was me acting out. That was my way of, quote unquote, trying to control the situation, you know? So I would go and feed it the lust, you know, and give it what it wants and let it go away. Because I was terrified of this letting go. We mean I let go, but the urge is there. You know, and that was my surrender, is letting God deal with my addiction, not being afraid from the lust attack, because my lust is based on fear and drama. That's the fuel of my lust. You know, it is the more and more it can suck me in into this drama. That's when I lost it. And the day that I all of a sudden, it's like watching, you know, when you watch a movie, you know, a huge part of the movie is not the scenery. That you're seeing, but it's a background music, right? When there's like a dramatic dun 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 dun, like that music track, you know, and that's exactly what my lust did to me. You know, I'd walk in the street and every woman I would see, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this background music was like dun 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 dun, you know, and that. And the more I believed it, the more I got sucked into this movie. I go, oh my God. Did I see Jesus? No, I think, you know, I completely lost it, you know, and the second step, which is, you know, believing that greater power in myself can restore me to sanity, is actually restore me to freaking sanity. Hey, no, this is only a woman. She's a human being. Okay. It's okay. Just relax. You have a lust. You have an urge. That's okay. Don't be afraid. It's going to go over, maybe in an hour, maybe in 2 hours, maybe in one day. It's okay. And that was my first step, just surrendering, because I knew that my way of trying to control a situation was just not working. It was not working, you know, and I needed, the second step was believing in a greater power to myself, and was a sponsor I took, which I saw, man, I don't know, you look happier than me and you look through fear. You look free from lust. And I want that. And I gave him trust. And that's, I'm going to end with that. You know, when people ask me, like, you know, when you're looking for a sponsor, what should you look for? And I always say, I say one thing, trust. Because if I give trust into that person, it doesn't matter if my sponsor is sober a month or a half a year or 10 years or 300 years. Because if I don't give trust into my sponsor, he can be sober for 300 years and it will help, because I need to give trust to my sponsor to be able to calm up, not after I acted out, because that's what I used to do. I was like, Hi, I just wanted to act it out. Like, no, call me before. And that was one thing. Another thing was when I would first call, I couldn't understand what the program has asked me to admit. Okay, I'm just going to finish the sentence. Admitting I'm perilous, which we can speak about a long time, but it's going to say in one sentence. I thought admitting I'm perilous, meaning I'm just informing my sponsor and my friends on my, you know, that I have less now, my hormone status right now. Oh, I just want to know. I just want to let you know, in case you were just bored out of your mind at 2 o'clock in the morning, I just want to tell you I'm horny. No, it's not about that. It's about, I want to admit to myself loudly that just for today, I don't have the privilege to act out, you know, and I'm willing to give that over for the next 15 minutes, for the next hour, for the next 24 hours, not act no matter what. So this thing's worked for me. It's working for me for almost 14 years, maybe. And other, you know, I'm gonna get a chance another time to speak about the blessings I got during this, but thank you for listening.
I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Daily Reprieve, the best source for experience, strength, and hope for SA members. Please subscribe to this podcast to be alerted of new episodes. Please show your support by donating to The Daily Reprieve by going to donate.thedailyreprieve.com and choosing either monthly donations or a one-time donation by clicking Donate Now. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Daily Reprieve.